Currently, the Royal Ontario Museum is featuring a wonderful exhibit titled Early Typewriters. It's a collection by Torontonian Martin Howard, and it's an exhibition of about more than 25 antique typewriters that date from the 1880s, 1890s, and it's been extended. The exhibition has been on since actually last year and has been extended to the end of June. And with me in the studio right now to talk about typewriters is Martin Howard. First of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's my pleasure to be here.
What I find fascinating, I look at, you brought a couple of examples of typewriters, and which brings back a few memories, not those typewriters, but just typewriters in general. And we're so caught up in laptops and computers, but to see the original machines and what they look like, what they feel like, what they smell like is kind of neat. When you started kind of late in life in terms of collecting. It was 1989 when you started collecting typewriters.
That's true. I was, I think, 30 years old at the time, or just about to turn 30. And I had the urge to collect some sort of fine machinery, some sort of antiquated machinery, something that had a lot of variety in its design, different types, and also something, even though you might argue, something not too large. Something I could bring into the house and put on my workbench and take apart and fix up. I love taking things apart. I love putting things back together. And
well, that's
good. It took me a couple years with this criteria in my head to discover a typewriter from the early 1880s. I paid $100 for it. It was sitting in a very fine junk shop on literally a pile of junk 6 feet high. And I saw it and bought it and went home with it. And I think soon after that, I got a book from the library that showed me photographs of the incredible number of different, wildly different designs that were made of typewriters in the 1880s and 1890s, and I haven't looked back since.
Well, the collection is mostly 1880s, 1890s. That's when my understanding from you is when it really started going, but that's not how far back typewriters go in terms of when they were originally invented.
That's right, John. There's various claims to who made the first typewriter. There was an Italian man in 1802 who invented a typewriter for his mistress who was moving to another town, and it was a means for her to communicate with him via typed letters. It was only a sighted person could read the documents from this typewriter. It was not in Braille, but that was perhaps the first typewriter ever to be made. And then in the reign of Queen Anne in the early 1800s, there was a patent by a British gentleman for a typewriter that was never made. And then there was a wonderful machine made in Denmark in the early 1870s. It was the first typewriter to be made in any quantity. 500 were made. And it was designed for blind people to use. And mind you, it would type documents that only sighted people could see. Again, it wasn't producing documents with Braille dots. So that's the first typewriter to be made in any quantity. But it didn't introduce the typewriter to the world because it was just too strange a machine and its purpose was quite specific to people who are vision impaired. So the first commercially successful typewriter came out in 1874, and it was an American machine invented by a fellow called Christopher Lathan Scholes out of Milwaukee. And even then, this typewriter was very slow at being accepted. It was the only Well, it didn't have competition until 7 years later in 1881. And during those 7 years, it was a tough sell.
Well, and there are so many different designs. When you go to some of the typewriters that you have from the 1880s, 1890s, there are all kinds of different designs. There's one kind that do not have a keyboard, but are what you called index typewriters.
Yes, yes, that's right. You can't imagine how strange these things look, how beautiful and exotic they are. Going to the ROM to look at them is one way to see firsthand. As you say, John, some of the machines, some of these early typewriters don't have keyboards at all. They have a selector, a pointer or an arm that you swing or rotate to select one character at a time, sort of like the dynamo machines from the 1970s that one would use to make those long, sticky labels that you'd stick on drawers. They always peeled off in the end. Another place to view my collection is at my website, where my typewriters are very nicely photographed. My website is antiquetypewriters.com, and I encourage, invite anyone who's listening who's interested in seeing these actual machines to visit my website and also consider getting to the ROM sometime during this month.
Yeah, it is a wonderful collection. What is the rarest typewriter that you have?
You know, it's a lovely question. I'll just preface it by saying that there were many great successes and many great failures in the early typewriter industry. So they're lucky for us collectors, a lot of really rare typewriters to be found, and a lot of common ones too. But your question of what is the rarest one I have, I have a few in the collection where there's only a dozen known to exist of that particular example.
How much was the typewriter a reflection of change that was happening in society at the time, 1880s, 1890s?
It's an astute question because at that time, communication means across the states was blossoming as in other industrialized nations. The telegraph was well established. The road system was growing dramatically. The railroads had been built across the nation. So the means to have accurate and much faster communication was not only desirable but essential, and the typewriter came along when it was absolutely needed as a means to not only produce typewritten documents three times quicker than by hand, but also to allow one to make up to a dozen duplicates, copies at a time. So it came at the right time, and it supported the move into modernism as we went into the beginning of the 20th century.
When I look at the keyboard at the top, you see the word QWERTY.
Yes.
How did that start? That how did they set the keys to be a certain way, that QWERTY system? Because my understanding is that they chose it, and you can, this may be myth, but they chose it so that you couldn't go you couldn't type too fast to jam it up.
It's true, and you've got the key words there. It was to reduce the clashing of the type bars so the typewriter would not jam up as frequently. For those people who are under the age of 25 and perhaps have never seen a manual typewriter, type bars are the little swinging metal rods about 4 inches long that swing and hit the roller, and at the end of the type bar is the actual character that's being typed. And if you type quickly on a manual typewriter, these type bars can get stuck to each other, jammed against each other as they come to the printing point, because they all have to hit that one focal point. So you're right, John. The QWERTY keyboard actually was on the first commercially successful typewriter, invented once again by Christopher Lathe and Scholes in 1874. And even though there are no surviving documents as to his exact thinking about this, he was clearly trying to separate letters that were often typed in quick succession, such as T and H. The T and H type bars are hanging opposite each other on his typewriter, so much less chance of them getting stuck. So you're right, it was to reduce jamming, but not so much to slow us down. That was more a consequence of that design.
Because much later, I guess, with the advent of electronic typewriters, they tried to change that system, did they not?
Yes.
From QWERTY to what was called Dvorak.
That's right. And I could be wrong here, because it's beyond my collecting period. I think that was in the early 30s, and it had some moderate success, but it didn't stick. And I'll just mention there were a host of other keyboard layouts that were available in the 1880s and 1890s, and they also didn't hang around too long. It's a bit of a puzzle. I always like to say, you know, once you've learned QWERTY, who wants to learn again? And yet, in today's age with computer keyboards, they could be set up in any arrangement that we want in a personal basis, and it's not done. So I'm puzzled why we're not shifting now, why we haven't shifted to perhaps a more efficient keyboard in the past 20 years. And yet the QWERTY keyboard isn't as bad as we might think. I would say it's of moderate ergonomic design, so it's not a complete a disaster.
I'm just thinking now that people are listening to this and wondering, well, maybe I have a typewriter somewhere in my attic or in my garage, and I should be taking this off to Antiques Roadshow. What are the valuations of some of these typewriters now?
The values of these early typewriters, like any good collectible, is wide-ranging, anywhere from a few hundred dollars, now I'm speaking about the 19th century typewriters, a few hundred dollars up to many thousands of dollars a machine. There are some collectible ones from the 20th century, but less so. Typewriters became standardized in their design by about 1905, and values don't seem to be as strong for the standardized machines, but there's a full range of values. I can say that the world record price was for that Danish typing ball from the early 1870s, and it sold for $120,000. So if you have one of those, give me a call.
Absolutely. Well, if what's would be great is people to go to your website, because it is it's a wealth of information. There's some wonderful examples of all kinds of different typewriters from your collection. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, John. My absolute pleasure in speaking to you, and thanks for your interest. Great questions. Thank you.
I've been talking to Martin Howard about his wonderful exhibition of early typewriters. It's on now at the Royal Ontario Museum until the end of June. He will also have an exhibit at Terminal 1 at Pearson International Airport. July 15th, I believe, is the date.
That's correct. Thanks for mentioning that, John. And I'll just add that the exhibit at Terminal 1 is in the Malton Gallery, which is pre-security. It's in the Air Canada arrivals, so there's no need. Even if you're not traveling, you can have a look at this exhibit. It's in pre-security.
And that website, again, is antiquetypewriters.com.